reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
No, don't leave yet. Have you ever tried... Probably ladies more than the men, although men, if you've got some of these more expensive shoes with leather soles without the grips, you know? Have you ever tried walking outside on a snowy day, or when the snow has got compacted, it's even worse, and it's just icy? I know why women wear stilettos. It's just to give them grip, because the rest of the shoes are quite useless in snow. You know what it is. If you've tried to walk on those, men, you know, you try and do stuff. That will give you some idea of what we're talking about today. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul there talks about, in this list of the armor that they're to put on, we get to this bit where he talks about having your feet. It's verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 6. Have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This morning, so we're going to be looking at the soldiers' footwear. Let's have a look at our soldiers on there. We've seen the little belt the week before last. We've looked at the breastplate. Today, it's those hobnail sandals. They don't look much, do they? There's a closer-up picture of the kind of thing that they were like. You might think, well, it's not what you would expect a soldier to be wearing. But they were brilliantly designed for what they were used for in those days. And there's perhaps a different view. And one of the reasons, there you can see exactly what he's talking about. Having your feet fitted with the gospel. You see, they've got hobnails, literally nails in the bottom. So they would become like our football boots. Or perhaps if you've worn, I don't know if any of us are young enough this morning, Stuart and Carl, maybe age any of us, AstroTurf boots. You know, you may not be familiar with them. They're training shoe with lots of little pimples. Have you got a pair, Stuart? Yeah. They're great on AstroTurf. Just lots of little pimples on the bottom. They're not four or five studs or six or seven studs like we used to have when we had proper boots. But, you know, they wear these little things now with these little ones. And that's a bit like these boots here. They were nails on the bottom. They weren't hugely comfortable, but they gave them a superb grip, regardless of the terrain that they were in. It meant that for the often close-at-hand combat that the Roman soldiers would be engaged in, they were going to have sure footing. And if you like boxing, there was a boxing match recently. David Hay against the guy he was fighting, and he slipped and twisted his knee, and he ruptured his ligaments in his ankle, managed to keep fighting for another five rounds. Goodness knows how he managed to do that. But for sportsmen, having good grip is really important. And for these soldiers to be able to stand and not be slipping, sliding, to be confident in their footwear was really important. But the other thing about them is they were sandals. Most of the time they were in warm climates. I don't know how they got on when they went up to Scotland or anything like that. They probably had socks under the sandals. Never do that. Maybe the Romans were the first ones. I don't know. But they were light. They were flexible. They were airy. And that enabled them to move quickly over long distances. One of the things that the Roman army was known for was to be able to get from one place to another. Whenever there was trouble in the Roman Empire, they would get there by route marches very, very quickly. And one of the key components that enabled them to do that was these boots. The modern equivalent would be your walking boots, similar to these. Big grips on the bottom, light. These ones are very flexible. They're lovely and waterproof, unlike those ones. But that would be your kind of stuff that you had. So we're talking here, these unglamorous sandals is one of the key secrets for the Roman soldier. And the footwear that we have spiritually, our spiritual footwear, is likewise really very, very important. One of the key parts of our armor in our fight and our battle against the forces of darkness and temptation which rages within us or comes from without us or comes by our spiritual enemies. We've got to have our spiritual shoes on. So I want us to notice, first of all, what are our spiritual shoes? What is it that we have that will help us to stand firm? Because that's the point of all of this. Paul says, I want you to stand firm. And having done all, to be standing. What is it then that will help us to do that? These shoes are the boots of readiness. And my clicker is now not working. Darius, can you move it on to the next slide for me? Thank you. That is the boots of readiness. He's talking about being prepared, ready for what we face, ready for what we're about to do. To fail to prepare is to prepare to fail. You possibly heard that. If you haven't, you should have done. To fail to prepare is to prepare to fail. I'd never go for a walk up a mountain in flip-flops. I'd never, in those long, distant days, I would never have played football on a muddy pitch in trainers. Trainers were okay for the summer. Your little AstroTurf shoes with the little pimples on the bottom that I was just talking about, they're okay on AstroTurf, they're okay on a hard ground, probably better than football boots on a hard ground, but you wouldn't wear them on a muddy pitch. You get yourself prepared. I don't know what the ladies' equivalent is, I'm afraid, whatever you'd have. So I can only do the blokes' kind of illustrations on that. You wouldn't wear stilettos in the snow. What would you wear, Margaret? You'd wear boots. Okay, ladies, good. Wellies, even better. Okay, so you'd put your wellies on. You'd get yourself prepared, wouldn't you? Thank you. So in the battle that we're in spiritually, if we're to stand and to keep standing, if we're going to fight, if we're going to resist temptation from whatever source it comes, then we've got to be ready and we've got to be prepared. We can't just roll up in our spiritual everyday shoes, if you like, and expect not to be pushed around. If we're going to grow and increasingly let Jesus rule in every area of our lives, especially those bits of our lives where the dust tends to settle, using Ray's image there. Those little bits where we find it hardest for God to have control, then we need to be prepared. What is it that prepares us then? And you've got the answer on there. You see, when I went to get my walking boots, my last pair were 25 years old. I'd had them a long time. They'd done a lot of miles and a lot of gardening. And last year I thought, it's time, if I'm going to keep up with my son, and I need to have something that's going to give me the best help on it. So I went out and I searched the internet and I searched every shop, and I actually bought a pair off the internet, tried them on, didn't work, sent them back again because they weren't right. And I went into the shop in Ipswich and eventually got these. I think you get what you pay for. That seemed to be my kind of my experience, at least. Well, where do you get your spiritual boots? You can get walking boots from lots of places. Where do we get our spiritual boots from? We don't want something cheap and cheerful that's going to let us down at the moment of spiritual crisis. Well, our strength, our boots come from Jesus. They come, he gives them to us when we believe, and we need to put on these boots. And it says here, they are the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This readiness, this preparedness to face life and circumstances and temptation comes from the gospel of peace. We get them then, and we put them on when we believe the message of Jesus. The good news of Jesus. Because gospel means the good news. And there's a number of things when we believe Jesus, the peace that he brings to us. I'll share with you just four here. First of all, we need to have, if we're going to stand against Satan, we need to be assured of our peace with God. And that's what Jesus gives us. The good news of our faith, the good news of the Bible, is that we have peace with God. Assurance and certainty of salvation is the most strengthening thing. To know that you're right with God, to know that he's forgiven you, to know that he loves you, to know that he's on your side, to know that you're his child, to know that, to be confident of it, to be sure of it, is the most wonderful thing. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. Knowing that God is with us and for us and not against us. Knowing they're at peace with him. Our readiness, our preparedness to resist temptation, whether it's coming from within us, whether it's coming from without us, whether it's our culture that's trying to shape us and get us to do things that we know before the Lord we ought not to do, is closely linked with the measure of our assurance of our relationship with God, of knowing that he's our Father, knowing that we're accepted by him. If we have confidence of his love and of his care, if we're confident in our being adopted into his family, confident of being his children, if we have an awareness of that, it's going to put us in a much better place to deal with temptations from whatever source. Because if you're not sure, and we're not confident, and we're not certain about God and a relationship with him, then it's going to be easier to just fall into doing those things, isn't it, that we ought not to do. Whereas if we know that our Father loves us, and we know that we love him, we're not going to want to hurt him. So this readiness that comes with the peace with God. And then the second one is the peace of God. A slightly different thing. And it's the peace of God that was being referred to by Jesus when he was talking in the passage that Sarah read for us. My peace I will give to you. This is one of the greatest gifts that comes to us through Jesus, a sense of God's provision, a sense of God's care, casting our anxieties on him because he cares for us. You know that God cares for you, the peace of God. And it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, present your prayers to God, your prayers and requests with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Having God's contentment and sense of well-being, knowing, believing and being assured of his care, that he will provide whatever you need in whatever circumstance. That's going to be a great strength giver in your life. Being able to accept your circumstances and events is really important, because we go through the most difficult times, don't we? You know, and to be able to accept that, to be content in that, the answer, you know, we say, how can I have peace? How can I let my mind rest when there's all of these other things? You know, when we ask, why? Where is God? And why is this happening? And we do ask those questions. It's normal and it's natural. What is the answer to it? The answer is to come back to God, knowing that we're at peace with God and knowing that he cares for us. You know, who by worrying can add a day to his life, Jesus said. You know, life is more than what you eat and what you drink. Jesus said that the pagans run after these things, but your Father, he said, Jesus said, he said, your Father, he knows that you need them. If he looks after the lilies of the field, if he paints them, if he looks after the birds, if he looks after the little sparrows, how much more will my Father in heaven give you what you need? Isn't that precious? When we take that, when we believe it, when we have that in our hearts, the peace of God. But not only do we have peace with God through Jesus, not only do we have the peace of God through Jesus as we believe him, but we'll also find that we'll have increasingly peace with ourselves. I find a lot of people struggle to be at peace with themselves, with who they are, what they are, the things that have happened to them. I wish I was different. I wish, it's always I wish. We struggle to gain the upper hand over temptation if we can't accept and we don't realize and believe that God loves us as we are, not just as we'd like to be. We don't have to change for God to like us. Maybe this is a word for any of you this morning who are struggling to like yourself or to accept that you are loved by God. You think, well, if only I was like this, if only I was like that, if only I was thinner, if only I was fatter, if only I'd got more money, if only I'd got a different relationship, if only, if only I was younger, if only I was older, whatever. But you're not. You're what you are, and God loves you as you are. You don't have to change to be loved by God. You don't have to change to be changed. You don't have to be something different to know the peace of God and to know peace with God. I'm not sure that I like the language of loving yourself, but I think there is something about being content with what you are and not always struggling, you know, to accept God has allowed things in our lives. God doesn't make mistakes. God wired us as we are. You know, some of us are born worriers. Some of us are born laid back. Some of us are born active. Some of us are born, you know, with a slower metabolism. Some of us are born with a bigger metabolism. You know, we're wired in different ways. Who controlled the wiring? And who can put the wiring right? It's God, isn't it? When we know Jesus and we know that we're friends with God, God is our Father, we can settle with ourselves, but then we can also settle with other people as well. Jesus has brought us into a family. He's also enlisted us into an army. We're on the same side. We're fighting together. And we love the family analogy, don't we? But we're also soldiers. I want to encourage us. Let's make sure that we don't fight against each other. Too much damage is done in church by friendly fire. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We'll differ on things, and we do. Some of you differ on your understanding of things of the Bible to me. That's okay. We can live with that. There are some things which we won't compromise. And, as you know, the things about the Bible, the things about God, the things about how we get saved, the things about Jesus, and those things, those are really important. But those other things that where there's a, you know, there's differences, we can let them go. In Jesus, we understand we're brothers and sisters. If we've come to God through faith in Jesus and we're trusting Jesus to forgive us, then we're in the same family. And we can, you know, we can accept that we're different. And it's a great source of encouragement knowing that we've got others who are fighting for us, praying for us, standing with us. So this is what it's meant, and a whole load more, by the gospel of peace. And it's our possession, it's our belief, it's our commitment to these things. Peace with God, peace of God, particularly those two, that prepares us and puts us in a position of readiness to be able to stand, to fight, and to withstand the temptations and the powers of darkness around us. So that's where we get it from. But it talks about so those are where we get the boots from. Let me briefly say what they do, what they enable us to do. I kind of covered it already, so I don't need to say too much on this. The boots of readiness, this peace with God, this peace of God, this peace with ourselves, this peace with others, enable us to be ready to stand, standing against the forces of evil, forces of culture, forces of evil, forces in ourselves. Satan is described in the Bible as the prince of this world, and he loves nothing more than to attack the Bible and to attack believers of the Bible. That the boots of readiness will enable us, being ready with what we know and what we believe, to stand against those attacks. I want to encourage you again, it comes up pretty much all the time, get to know the Bible as much as you possibly can. Get to know what you believe. Get to know what God has said in it. Actually, let me put that the other way around. Get to know what God has said and then get to know what you believe. Because what we believe should be what God has said. Everything that we believe comes from God. If it's what I think, it's not enough. We need to know what God says. So get to know your Bible. You know, God, one of the great Satan's greatest tricks is, well, we're to keep us in ignorance. Keep us in darkness spiritually. So many times people come with difficulties and problems to me. What should I do? Why is this happening? And the answer to it often invariably is to go back to the Bible. Well, what does God say? What does he, you know, what's the understanding on this? Where's the Bible? And if we each knew more of the Bible, it will help us to stand and do our own, standing as well. This year marks the 500th anniversary of what is known as the Reformation in Europe. The end of October the 31st, 1517. Martin Luther went up to the cathedral door and nailed a list of 95 things where he realized that the dominant Catholic Church was wrong. And he sparked a reforming of the church. Because what he realized is that the Roman Catholic Church of that time was keeping people in darkness. People didn't know the truth about Jesus. They thought they'd got to go to the priest, that they'd got to go to the church, that they needed the priest to forgive them in order to be part and accepted by God. They'd got to be a member of that particular church in order to have their sins forgiven and be accepted by God. They were thinking that they needed to pay money so that they didn't spend time in purgatory. If you don't know what the teaching of purgatory is, I'm not going to do it now, we can do it another time. But they thought that they could buy God's favor. And he said, it's rubbish, it's not in the Bible. And it was Luther that led the church out of the dark ages and shone the light of the peace of God through Jesus into people's lives. You see, Satan loves to keep people in darkness. And it's the same in our generation. People are in darkness, aren't they? They don't know about Jesus. They don't know about the life. They don't know how they're forgiven. They'll come with all kinds of ideas of how they'll get forgiven by God, how they can be accepted by God. That's if they believe in God at all. He loves to keep them in darkness. How do we How do we counter that? We've got to take it to them and we've got to be ready to stand against that and defend what Jesus says. We've got to know the Bible, be ready to stand for the truth of the Bible. And I want to encourage you. I want to say, will you do this as well as me? This isn't just for me to do. My job is to equip you so that you can stand against it. You can stand up for what is true in your community, in your family, in your office, with your neighbors, when they're saying, you know, rubbish stuff spiritually, so that you can take them back. That's why what we do in church on Sundays, that's part of what this is about. It's about equipping you to be able to stand for truth and to be able to explain it to other people. So being ready to stand and also ready to go. The Roman army, as mentioned at the beginning, was strong in their ability to get from one place to another. You know, we're God's army. We need to have that same rapid responsibility, confidence in the good news of the peace of God, in taking that to other people, in sharing it with other people. Because we're not just called to defend. We don't just pull up the barricades and hide and in a horrible world out there, you know, we'll get in our little huddle and we'll keep ourselves to ourselves, you know, going into a bunker mentality. We're not called to that. We're called to be an army, unashamedly, that goes out. Jesus said, go into all the world. Take this glorious news and make disciples of all people. We're called not just to try and resist Satan. We're called to go out against him. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not be able to resist. They will not prevail. We're called to go out. We're called to talk about Jesus. The sandals of the boots of readiness, being ready to go. That comes from peace with when you know, and some of you have come to know this just recently, you know that your joy and your confidence of telling, you want to tell other people, don't you? You want other people to know because you know this peace of God and peace with God in your heart and you want others to know it. You're ready to go. I want to say, way to go. Get out there, tell people. Don't be ashamed of it. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So as Christians, if we're going to stand and not just be standing but going, we need to know this peace and be ready as we know and experience and live with the peace of God in our hearts, the peace with God, peace of God, peace with ourselves. Peace with others, then we'll be able to stand together against the forces and ready to go and take this wonderful good news to others as well. May God help us every day to know his peace in our hearts and share it with everybody else. Let's sing a song as we finish this morning. As we do, if the stewards can wait on us and we'll bring our offering as we sing. We're going back to that song that we've sung two or three times. It just seems to fit so well with what we're talking about. Oh, church, arise and put your armor on.
Stand against the devil.
Finally, the scripture says, live in peace, and may the God of love and peace be with you. Amen.